Janet Chesley, Kim Marks, and Ken Foster badgered the various wardens who came and went at McAllister, as well as deputy wardens and assistants. Susan Otto, the director of the Federal Public Defender's Office and Janet's supervisor, managed to pull some strings at the Department of Corrections. Finally, in February 1996, James Saffel, then a higher-ranking official with DOC, agreed to meet with Kim and Janet. As the meeting began, Saffel announced that he had authorized Ron Ward, the current warden at McAllister, to make an exception for Ron Williamson and to transfer him immediately to the SCU. Ron Ward's memo to the director of the SCU admitted that the unit was officially off-limits for death row inmates. It read, in part, "I am authorizing an exception to the standard operating procedures for the special care unit of the Oklahoma Penitentiary, which states, any OSP inmate except those on death row are eligible for special care unit services." What was behind this change of heart? 2 weeks earlier, a prison psychologist sent a confidential memo to a deputy warden concerning Ron Williamson. Among other comments, the psychologist gave some valid reasons for moving Ron to the SCU. "In our team discussion, we agreed that Mr. Williamson was psychotic and would likely benefit from major adjustment to his medication. We also noted that he has steadfastly refused even to consider or discuss any such adjustment. As you know, the special care unit has the latitude to force medicate when need be." The H unit staff was tired of Ron and needed a break. The memo went on, "There is little doubt that Mr. Williamson's condition is deteriorating week by week. I have noticed it, and H unit staff have brought it up regularly. Earlier today, Mike Mullins made emphatic mention of this deterioration and of the adverse effect the inmate's psychotic outbursts were having on our Southwest Quad. But the best reason to move Ron was to speed up his execution." The memo concluded, "In my opinion, as things stand now with Mr. Williamson, his psychosis has reached a level that would probably render him less than competent to be executed. A period at our SCU could well restore him to an appropriate level of competence." Ron was walked over to the SCU, admitted, and given a nicer cell with a window. Dr. Foster changed his medications and monitored their intake. Though Ron was far from healthy, he was quiet and not in constant pain. He was also extremely fragile, his mania barely under control. Progress was made. Then suddenly, on April 25th, after 3 months in the SCU, Ron was abruptly pulled out and taken back to H Unit for 2 weeks. There was no medical authorization for the transfer. Dr. Foster was unaware of it. No reason was given. When he was returned to the SCU, he had regressed considerably. Dr. Foster sent a memo to the warden and described the damage the sudden transfer had inflicted on the patient. Coincidentally, Ron's sudden transfer on April 25th just happened to occur the day before another execution. On April 26th, Benjamin Brewer was put to death for stabbing a 20-year-old co-ed in Tulsa in 1978. Brewer had been on death row for over 17 years. Even though he was at the SCU, Ron was still a death row inmate. He couldn't be allowed to miss the drama of another killing at H Unit. Janet Chesley suspected the sudden transfer had something to do with the legal maneuverings. The state of Oklahoma had appealed Judge C's ruling to the 10th Circuit in Denver, and oral arguments were scheduled. To prevent her from arguing that her client was so mentally incompetent that he had been moved to the special care unit, Ron was moved back to H Unit. She erupted when she first heard of the transfer. She berated the prison officials and the attorneys for the state who were handling the appeals. Finally, she promised not to mention during her oral argument that Ron was in the SCU. He was moved back, but the damage was painfully clear.